Blog Talk Radio.
All alone, my
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. and for bringing us this far. Oh, God, we know we could not have gotten this far without you. So we thank you and we praise you, oh, God, for doing what you have done. We ask you, oh, God, to have mercy this morning. We repent of our sins, everything that kept us away from you, Lord. We loose this morning, and we declare, God, that we are walking in victory. We live in victory in the mighty name of Jesus. One of my computers are acting up this morning, but that's all right. We'll go on in anywhere. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord is going to do. We'll get a word up there this morning, and the enemy can't stop us declaring. We're declaring that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we shall have victory, able to do what thus says the Lord this morning. For it's him, give us the strength to do what we need to do. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come before your people to break bread this morning. And we are asking, O God, that you pour into us and flow through us, that we might be able to declare this word with clarity, O God, that someone who hear this word might bear witness with what you have said and what you have seen and what you will say today through your servant, through your manservant this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to talk this morning to you about living in the time of great persecution. Living time of great persecution. And if we would take an inventory, if we would take a look at the times, look at the things that are happening in our day right now, we could say for sure, yes, we are living in the time of persecution. Oh, yes, they're coming after us. Because we are the children of God. We are the servants of God. We are the ambassadors of truth. And they don't want to hear truth. Truth is offensive to them. To them who? Those that don't like the truth. Okay? Whoever they are. Whatever nationality, whatever class, color, or creed they are. Doesn't matter what country, what nation, what continent they come from. Black, white, yellow, green. They hate the truth. They don't like the truth. And the rainbow that they have adopted as their color for the sin that they are indulging in represents the truth. God promised that he will not destroy the world again with water. He put the rainbow in the sky as a covenant with Noah. And for the world. So Satan is using the banner of the rainbow. This morning I said we want to talk to you about living in the time of great persecution. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And let's go all the way down. You can read this whole book. It talks about Stephen. Stephen, the deacon. They're talking about Stephen. He was the deacon. And he was full of fire. He was full of fear, however you want to see it, with the Holy Ghost. And he was filled. He was filled with the zeal of God. He wanted to, and he did every and anybody that he come in contact with, that Jesus was Lord, that he was the Messiah, that he rose from the dead, that he was crucified, and that he rose from the dead. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't ashamed. So they stoned him to death. Hallelujah. Here in the book of Acts, it says, "You stubborn and stiff-necked people, heathen and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit. As your forefathers were, so you are, and so you do." And if we look at Exodus, keep your finger there in Acts, Exodus chapter 33. This is what the book of Acts is talking about. Now, Exodus 33, 3 and 5, verse 3 and 5. Listen to what it says. "Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the wrath. For the Lord hath said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off your ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." The people were stubborn. The people were hardened-hearted, stiff-necked, disobedient to the Lord. As you see today. You know, sometimes it's so sad to look at YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or one of those pages or even listen to Periscope. You know, it's so hard to see how many people, thousands upon thousands of millions, are rejecting God. They're doing their own thing. Hallelujah. Just like these people back then 7,000 years ago. They're doing the same thing. He said, "Which of the prophets did your forefathers not persecute? And they slew those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you now have betrayed and murdered." Talking about Jesus. The forefathers before persecuted and murdered the prophets because they were testifying about Jesus, the Son of the Living God, coming into the world. And they betrayed him and murdered him, the righteous one of God. He said, "You who received the law," that's the law of Moses, that God gave to Moses, as it was ordained and set in order and delivered by angels, and yet you did not obey them. Hallelujah. How many people say they have grace now? The grace of the living God. They had back then, they had the law. The law that God gave to Moses. And they didn't obey the law. We have grace, which is unmerited favor, something that we don't deserve, and yet still we don't obey God. We find ourselves doing our own thing. You and I, us, we, doing our own thing. But we say we love the Lord. This is what God is saying to us today. They're persecuting the men and women of God, the servants of God who will stand up for the truth and not fall for a lie. The Lord healed my body this week in such a miraculous way that I am amazed. I am amazed. Yes, I got herbs and stuff, but the herbs, the Lord had instructed me to use these herbs. But he healed my body. And he's still healing me, preparing me for my trip to the Caribbean. He says, now, upon hearing these things, they, the Jews, were cut to the heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. Stephen, the deacon, is telling them about all that they have done, bringing back their sin to them. See, when you talk to people and you talk against sin, they'll want to stone you to death. The preachers now that are going out into to the universities and preaching in the into the courtyard, the yard, the schoolyard. They're being threatened to death. Sometimes they're kicked, spit upon, pushed, and all types of stuff. Abused for the word of God. Persecuted for the word. And we are acting, sitting back in our convenient spaces like we all got in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. Doing nothing for the Lord. Because we are safe. Listen what he says. This is the word of God. Verse 55. We're in Acts chapter 7. We start at verse 51. But you can read this old book for yourself. It's a powerful book. Sound doctrine makes sound people. But he, full of the Holy Ghost and controlled by him, gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. Jesus standing in the position of authority. Stephen looked in the spirit realm and saw this. Heaven's gates are open. Heaven's windows are open. Heaven's doors are open that the man of God can look in and see in the spirit. John looked in and saw in the spirit. And he says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man, Jesus, standing at God's right hand. But they raised a great shout and put their hands over their ears and rushed together upon him. See, when you begin to prophesy truth, they'll cover their ears because they don't want to hear truth. When you preach and teach truth, they don't want to hear it. Hallelujah. They'll cross over to the other side like the Levite and the priest. They'll go on the other side because they don't want anything to do with you. You're preaching, teaching, and living the truth. They don't want anything to do with you. They put their hands on their ears. They cover their ears and rushed upon Stephen. They want to kill him. because he's teaching and preaching the truth. He's living the truth. He is filled with the fire. That's how you know he's living the truth. He is filled with the fire of God. Stephen is filled with the fire of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Is anybody this morning hearing the word of God? Are you filled with the fire of God? Because if you're not filled with the fire of God, you need to ask God to fill you. Say, Father God, fill me with the fire. I want to be filled. Verse 58 says, they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses placed their garments at the feet of Saul, a young man named Saul. Acts 22 and 20. This Saul is going to become Paul. Understand? God is going to give him a new name. But at this time, he was wicked. He was wicked. He was one of the ones that responsible for the Christians being arrested and put in jail. But that's just going to show you, because sometimes we look and we see people that are acting strange, and we will ostracize them. We'll put them out. We don't want to have nothing to do with them because we think that we are better than them. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to associate with them because we think we are better than them. But look at Saul persecuting the church from everywhere, grabbing people and putting them in jail. You hear me? And God, now God going to visit him and change his life. But here, the people put down their garments on the ground for Saul because they seen him as a special man, a man of importance. Verse 59 says, and while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. You remember when Jesus prayed on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they've done. It's the same thing that Stephen is saying right here. And he says, and falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Don't charge them with his sin, Lord. That's what he's saying. Lay it not to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. He died. I'm talking about living in the time of persecution. If you don't believe me, go back and read this book, this whole chapter. I give you 51 to 60. But go back and read the whole chapter, and you will see the things that happened here to the deacon, Stephen. It's happening to the church now. It's happening to believers right now. I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking to the body of Christ. They are the church. We are the church, the people. We're talking today about living in the time of great persecution. You have it coming from the White House to the outhouse. It's coming to all of us. The government officials are putting out laws and orders and commands against Christianity. And I was reading this morning how millions of Muslims in Iran and Iraq are converting, giving themselves to Christ Jesus. They don't allow the Bible to come into the nation, but Christ has shown up in the spirit. So many people are seeing him in the spirit. Well, they say that they saw him and they converted from Islam to Christianity. Millions of Muslims. I said, God have mercy. And they're going down to the river by the thousands and being baptized, converted to Christianity. And they said, if I die, I die. But I've seen the Lord. You hear that? You hear that? I've seen that as a my God. There was a Muslim man talking about that this morning. And he said that so many thousands of, upon thousands, if not millions, of Muslims that are converting, that are receiving Jesus as Lord. Because nobody's preaching to them. Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, they give up. Everything changed in them. They realized that he is the only true living. Here in the book of Acts chapter 8, we just read 51 to 60, chapter 7, talking about living in the time of persecution. And Saul, remember I told you he's going to be changed, they're going to be changed soon. Saul was not only consenting to Stephen's death, he was pleased and entirely approving. On that day, a great and severe persecution broke out against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, the special messengers. Hallelujah! Persecution was happening then, and it's happening now. Okay? He says, and a part of development with other help to carry out the body of Stephen and made great lamentations over him. They were mourning and crying over Stephen because Stephen was preaching the truth, the uncompromising, infallible truth of God's word, and he was not afraid to die. He was not afraid. God allowed him to look into heaven and saw God on the throne and saw Jesus standing next to God, the place of authority. He asked God not to charge his death to the people. Why? Because they stoned him to death in their ignorance, just like Jesus' death on the cross. He asked the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they have done. People do a little thing to us, don't pay us back, cut our tire, scratch our car, took two toilet paper in front of our house on the trees, and we want to act belligerent. Man is on his way out to death, and he said, God, fix this not upon them. Don't charge this with it. Don't charge them with my death. He know he's dying. They don't hit him all in his head, all in his back, all in his chest, all along his groin, everywhere his knees. Everything was busted open, blood flowing everywhere. And he's praying to God. He's on his knees, busted and broken. And they say, God, forgive them. Maybe when you look at this kind of sermon, you got to reevaluate your life. We have to reevaluate if we really is saved. Are we really saved? Where's the compassion? Where's the mercy? Where is the love that we have for each other? As soon as somebody do a little something to us, we lose all train of direction. We forget that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Bible says here, but Saul shamefully treated and laid waste the church continuously with cruelty and violence, and entering house after house, he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now those who were scattered abroad went about through the land from place to place, preaching the glad tidings, the word, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. See, no matter what happened, you still got to preach. People are acting up in the street. They're acting up in the street. And Philip the deacon, not the apostle Philip, but Philip the deacon went down to the city Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, the Messiah, to them, the people. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Do not allow persecution to stop us, to hinder us. We still got to get up and preach. We still got to go and tell somebody that Jesus is Lord. We don't want a soul to be lost because of our negligence, because of our pride, because of our puffed upness. We still got to go and tell the truth. Acts chapter 6, go back. Go to Acts chapter 6. I want to jump down. These are powerful. I'm going to put a couple of verses. Verse 13, 14. And they brought forward false witnesses to assert this man never stopped making statements against the sacred place and the law of Moses. For we have heard him say that this Jesus, the Nazarene, will tear down and destroy this place and will alter the instructions, and will alter the institutions and uses which Moses transmitted to us. Now they're bringing a charge. See, they're bringing a charge here. See, when you begin to preach about Jesus and what he stands for, people are going to find something. They're going to bring something against you. Because you're not preaching prosperity. You're not out there trying to get rich. You are trying to win souls. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. So you must be getting wiser because of every time I hear you, you're talking about souls. You're talking about soul winning, and you're talking about holiness. Not only are you talking about soul winning and holiness, but you're living holy. Your lifestyle declares that you're living holy. They find, because when you make a decision to live for Christ, as I told you yesterday, the pastor says, the people will come against you. You got to know for certain who you are. They got the plan because Stephen is preaching sound doctrine. He's not watering down the word of God. Go to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, one of my campers is going dead today. No. Wait. Second Chronicles and chapter 36, the last chapter, I believe. Second Chronicles. These books will bless you if you spend time in them. Spend time. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 36. Hallelujah. See what we want. Oh, I need something. See what we want. Let us start at verse. Glory to God. The name of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's start at verse 1 because we're going to do a part 2 of this here. I just feel like led to it. The Bible says, then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was then 23 years old. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Then didn't reign too long because he was wicked. Then the king of Egypt deposed him at Jerusalem and fined the land 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, Jewish word, and Jehoahaz, brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and brought him in fetters to take him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also took some of the vessels of the Lord Nebuchadnezzar also took some of the vessels of the Lord of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple or palace there. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and the abomination which he did and what was found against him, behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiakim, his son reigned in his stead. Jehoiakim was 18 years old then. He reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. He did evil in the Lord's sight. 2 Kings 24:8. Now in the spring, Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the precious vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah, the boy's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke at the dedication of the Lord. No. You see, these men was men of valor, but they did a lot of evil in the sight of the Lord. They were set to run God's house, but they did evil, great evil. Today we're looking at a lot of highfalutin preachers, and they're doing great evil. They don't realize that they're doing great evil. I'm telling you this because if you are messing with God's word, you're doing evil. Hallelujah. When you are conjuring up your own elaboration that does not line up with God's word at all, you're doing evil. Preacher of the Year there from Texas says that God wants everybody. It doesn't matter how they are. And the man got so to me belligerent, he says, yes, even the homosexuals going to heaven. Not if they remain in that state. But he's saying that if this, as long as they're in love with each other and they get married, they're going to heaven. They're going to, because they got love. Not God love, not agape love. He is encouraging the people to sin, not to repent and turn from their wicked ways. This preacher is encouraging the people to sin. God can save a homosexual. He saved a prostitute. He saved an adulteress. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God gives us chances upon chances upon chances to come to him and let him make it right. Because we can't make it right. We can't make our hearts right. We can't change our spirit, man. God can. He gives us a chance because he's the God of forgiveness, the God of mercy and grace and grace. And he allows us to come to him and cry out. And he catches our tears in a bottle, individual bottles. That's how much he loves us. Even when we are messing up, he is waiting there for us to repent. He's waiting right there. He never leaves us or forsake us. He says here, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke at the dedication of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God, stiff neck, his neck, and harden his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. And a matter of fact, what he did exactly is that he rejected God. Right out, flank out, rejected God, the God of Israel. Also, all the chiefs of the priests and the people trespassed against greatly in accord with all the abominations of the heathen, and they polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Now they got one priest over here. I think this is a Baptist church or something, physical church or whatever. And now he's opened the doors to all the homosexuals. I mean, it's an abomination. He put up the big old flag on the church. The church is painted all white, jet white. Big brick church, fancy. I would trade them. But this one, he this told him that put the flags out, the rainbow color on the church. Every Sunday morning to put them out. And the women and women and the men and men. Men coming to the church, going to the church, holding hands. Women holding hands and kissing. And they kiss going into the church. And the priest just welcomed them to come in with abomination in the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes it makes you think you don't even want to call that the house of the Lord, but you got to say the house of the Lord because that's what a lot of people believe. The right up flank rejected God. And we're facing that right now. If you stand for the truth, they're coming after you. If you bend the truth, you're okay. And a lot of the big-time preachers that you see, you like to see them on TV jumping back and forth, they are bending the truth. He says here in his book here of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, he says, and all, listen. Now, verses 16. But they kept mocking the messenger, see? Of God, the servants of God, and despising his word and scoffing at his prophets till the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy of healing. See some of the folk that say that they are born again. They say they're born again, that they were baptized in Jesus' name. They went down in the water, but they did not allow Jesus' name to take root in their hearts. See, we got people, we're taking people to the river, and we're baptizing them, but we got to wash them after they come out the river. We got to wash them after they come out the pool. Don't lose sight of their walk. We got to wash their walk. Hallelujah, glory to God. He said, therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew the young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary, of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgins, old man or hoary-headed, that means a gray-headed. He gave them all into his land. Says now all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the Lord's house of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. God used Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to bring correction to his people. Hallelujah. Those who had escaped from the sword, he took away to Babylon, where they were servants to him, to his sons, until the kingdom of Persia were established there. To fulfill the Lord's word by Jeremiah, till the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. For as long as it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 4. Leviticus 26, verse 43. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11, Jeremiah 29 and 10. No, in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Syria, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem. God used a Babylonian king, brought him in to rescue his people. It's in the book of Daniel 2. To bring them in. Let us go over to Jeremiah. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are in a place, in a time of persecution. And what is going to take us to get out of this persecution is fasting and praying. Truly, completely turning to God with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Because a lot of people are turning to God with their mouth, but not with their soul. Their hearts are not towards God. Hallelujah. This is what Israel was going through, all the stuff they were going through. They told Moses, whatever God said we would do, we would do. Whatever God said, we would obey, but they didn't obey. They were saying with their mouth like we do today, oh, I love God, I honor God. This is, and yet still we can't stand our brothers and sisters. We can't stand another preacher, because the other preacher's not preaching like us, don't sound like us. So we can't receive what they're saying from the Lord. This goes on all the time. All the time. You go to some church and see the preachers critiquing other preachers instead of receiving what God is saying. If it's coming out that 66 books, you as a servant of God, a man of God, a woman of God, you ought to receive the word. It's God's word. It's not the preacher's word. Even though God said when we preach, it's our word. Because he said so in John chapter 17. Then he said, many shall believe on him through their word. They were preaching his word. They were teaching all the doctrine that he gave to them. Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm reading out the Amplified Bible. My other computer is going down. I'm just, see what's happening. This has a bad battery in it. And the way Apple made these computers, you can't open the back and change the battery. There's nothing wrong with the computer but the battery. The battery life is, got to keep it hooked up to the cord. If it loses the cord, it loses everything. I'm trying to see if I can trade it in and get a new computer from Verizon. Jeremiah chapter 2, let's go down to verse 29. Verse 29, let's see what we got down here. See what the Lord is saying. Why do you complain and commandments recommend against the morale? He said, why do you complain and remonstrate against my wrath? You all have rebelled and revolted against me, says the Lord. In vain have I stricken your children, your people. They receive no discipline, no correction. Your own sword devour your prophets like a destroying lion. God said, look, why are you complaining? Why are you murmuring? When I correct you, why are you murmuring? You're the one that brought this thing upon you. We vote for the people that sanction abortions and same-sex marriage, and now we wonder why all this hell is breaking out in our nation, in the world. There's so much into this satanic movement that they even go to Africa and trying to force the African kings to allow same-sex marriage. and abortion, all this stuff. And they want to pay them millions upon millions to take on this spirit. And the African kings have to say, no, we don't care how much money you're going to give. We don't need your money. Your money is defiled by the devil. Not saying that they don't have homosexuals in Africa. They do. They have all over the world. But they said, no, we're not going to put this thing up there and give people liberty to be homosexuals. We're not going to give them liberty to go to the court and get married, man and man and woman. We're not going to do it. So now the president and the vice president and the administration wants to bring trouble for Africa. They want to bring trouble for Africa because Africa would not submit to the satanic move. Because that's what it is. Once you allow the devil one foot in the door, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. They have enough trouble over there dealing with witchcraft and so on. Now you want to bring mixed sodomy full-blown. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. They said the kings of Africa, all over Africa, they said no. They're holding arms together, saying, no, we're not going to tolerate that in our continent. We have enough stuff to deal with right now. This president, this vice president, this administration, they don't care for the people. They're going to bring the wrath of God upon the nation. That's why we got a prayer. God says to the people, and then have I stricken your children, your people. They receive no discipline, no correction. Your own sword devoured your prophets like you're destroying land. We're talking about living in the time of great persecution. He said, O generation, verse 31, that you are, behold, consider and regard the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, like a land without food? The Lord of deep darkness, like a way without light? Why do my people say, we have broken loose, we are free, and will roam at large? We will come to no more to you. The people said straight out, God give them food in the wilderness. He was a light in the darkness. This is what he's saying here in the word. They were not lacking anything. And then he questioned, why do the people say we are free to roam, break away from him? They said, we will come no more to you. That's what the people say to God. We're looking across America. We are supposed to be a righteous nation, a Christian nation. Thousands upon thousands of people are running after satanic agenda. People are in the street half naked. We just had it here in our state. We got a senator here, Senator Elizabeth Warren, is a witch. Is a witch. Everything that comes out of her mouth is satanic. Everything that comes out of her mouth. And I talk loud because I don't care about her. She's a senator. I respect her as a senator. But apart from that, I don't care about her. Because she talks about against everything that's righteous. They can come and get me anytime they want to. Can't do nothing to my soul. But everything that's righteous, she talks negative against. She stands for everything that's satanic. They're bringing destruction to our nations, to our city. And soon you'll see, you're going to see what's going to happen. Because God tells us, let's go in the word. Let's go to the word. Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Jesus. He says, verse 32 says, can a maid forget and neglect to wear her ornaments? Well, you know the answer to that. It's no. Or a bride, her marriage girdle with its significance that, like that of a wedding ring? You know the answer is no.
Patty's not going to forget. She don't want to forget her ring. If they take off the ring and put it on a vanity while they're taking a shower or something, the first thing they're going to do after they dry off is put that ring back on. They don't want to leave the house without the ring. It's important to them. How come that we can say that he is our king, but we don't want to have nothing to do with him? Say the words of it. Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without numbers. Listen to what God says. He is more than a wedding ring. He's more than an ornament, than a garment. He's more than all the many things that we hope to have or have. He's more than that. But yet still we don't find time to give him what belongs to him. We talked about worship yesterday. We don't find time to give him the worship that he deserves. We'd rather go worship the things of the world, the cars, the homes, people, stuff. But our God, we just neglect. Suppose he neglect us the way we neglect him. I got up this morning, now she took my blood pressure tickets, you know. I got one in the machine, the big one my father-in-law left me. I don't always seem to be right, electronic stuff. And every day now, my blood pressure is down, and the doctor take it 117 over 70. And every day now, it's 10 in the 120, 122, 126, anywhere like that, over 70-something. It's only God. And my doctor asked me Monday. He says, "Is you having any chest pains?" I said, "No, I haven't had chest pains in a long time." "Have you out of breath?" "No, I'm out of breath." He said, "Well, listen to my lungs, listen to my heart." He said, "Well, I don't want to see you for 6 months because it seems like everything is walking your way." And I had to tell him, not my way, but God's way. Because he's keeping me for the work that I got to do. See, the glory don't belong to me. It belongs to him. I told him the other day, he said, I went to the family doctor, said, God said, you got to make a drastic change. And you got to stick to the change. The problem is with us, we can't stick to the change. We decide we're going to serve God. We can't stand. Because every little thing the enemy going to put in our path to trip us up, and we just slide back. You know, I always say that. Backslide is not a sudden dash. It's a slow slide. It's a slow slide. And see, because when we are fellowshipping, what happens is, I'm apt to preach. When I hear you preach, I'm listening all the time and I'm taking notes, and I get a sermon when you're preaching. When I'm preaching, I don't hear a sermon. I just hear the one that God's delivering through me at that particular time. And I got to go back and go in the book. I got to go in the book to find another sermon. But when somebody's preaching, I'm listening, I get a sermon. You know, they prick something in my heart to go look somewhere. Is this what fellowship does? They say, "Well, I'm good by myself. I got the cat, I got the dog, got the parakeet, I'm all right." No, you need your brother, you need your sister. He said, "My people have forgotten me. Days without numbers." Do you hear that? God said so. How you bet yourself and direct your way to procure adulterous love. Because of it, even wicked women have learned indecent ways from you. We're supposed to be setting the standards. We as believers supposed to be setting the standards. But even the wicked is learning evil ways from us. Because why? We find ourselves dibbing and dabbing, trying to fit in. And we find ourselves doing things that are not like God. And people think, "Oh, she's on. Look at what the dance she's dancing." And they're trying to follow you now. He said, "Also on your skirt is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor." There's a lot of sacrifice going on right now. There's charge going on now for the White House, for the Clintons, for the Bidens, for the Obamas. There's charge going on now. There's cases going on, starting up right now for the trafficking of innocent children, sacrifice of. Do you know what I'm saying? These people, you know, we say, well, whether the black president, white president, green president, man, don't be moved by them people because they're black or yellow or green. If they're not moving in a righteous way, I don't care if they're yellow, green, or black. I don't care what color they are. I have people that come against me. I tell you, no lie. When I discover who Obama was, black preachers that come against me. And I don't care because they don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. The problem is that they got a white if they're going to make it in. Because when you find out that people, you know, it's tricky. The devil is so smart. That devil, I mean, I'm giving no power. I don't like to give no power. But the devil is so cunning, man. I mean, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You can see from Garden of Eden, he was cunning. And he's still cunning. He's slick, man. Everybody said Obama. Yeah, we got a black president, Obama. First thing going to do, look. Our man and woman, man and man, they got the right to do what they do. If they're happy, they say they're happy. He's a Christian. That's what he says. But he's going to sanction, our same-sex marriage. Oh, women should be able to do what they choose to do with it. That's their body. But who gave them the body? We forget who gave them the body. Then when cancer come in their body, they got some type of disease that's going to take them out. They want somebody to go to God and pray for them. When they turn their back on God, on everything that's holy, everything that's righteous, then they want you to waste your praise for them. I'm just like God talking to Jeremiah. I ain't praying for them. You can pray for them. You can get mad at me. I'm not praying for them. If they want salvation, I pray for them for salvation, but I'm praying for nothing else. Hear what God says. They procure adulterous love because of it. Even wicked women have learned indecent ways from you. You got innocent blood of persons on your skirts. You did not find them housebreaking, nor have I found it out of by secret search, but it is because of your lust for idolatry that you have done all these things that is everywhere evident. God said the sin is everywhere. He said, I don't have to go searching for it. It's everywhere. And you know God sees everything. But he said, I don't have to go searching for it. It's everywhere. And it's everywhere that even his people is adopting to it. Isn't that something? I have here says, yeah, if it don't bother you, don't worry about it. No, if it doesn't, if it doesn't think, don't bother, don't worry about it. Well, sooner or later, it's coming to your house. I got a niece back in the country. She don't see her when I get. She's pretty herself. She's we call her, we back in the country, we call her banana skin. She's a red bone. Because my brother was light skinned, very light skinned. I'm the darkest of my family. And she's a lesbian. She just like that. I know why she got that. Because she was so quiet. I mean, she was quiet when she was a little girl. 6, 7 years old, very quiet. All the other cousins and nephews, nieces and stuff, they'd be running, cutting up a storm. And all of a sudden, she adopted that spirit. I love her to life. But when I see her, I say, girl, Monica, you know, you got to change your life. She said, Unc, you know, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm happy. Unc, you know. I said, well, that's not going to take you to heaven. Your happiness ain't going to take you to heaven. It's the love of Christ. And we got to be willing to let go and let God. I talked to her, you know. And she loves her uncle. You know, because I love her, that don't mean I'm not going to tell her the truth. She got to know, make a decision. God says here to the prophet, listen. He says, yet you keep saying, I am innocent. Ain't that like some of these preachers living a sinful lifestyle, and all they're saying that they're innocent, so they say, innocent, I'm innocent. Know that they're not standing for the truth. They know that they're compromising the truth, and they don't want you to talk the truth. They come against me. I don't care if they come against me. I thank God for this avenue. And if I had a building, I mean, I've had so much equipment that we have donated to different churches and stuff like that. But because God didn't tell me to go get a building. But I want to travel. I want to go to this place and that place. I want to be free to go. And God said, move, 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 and go. I preach the same way when I go to a church. I don't care. Preacher don't have to have me come back. When I go down to the Caribbean, I preach the same way. Don't have them come back. Because I only have to answer the one person. That's God. And if the preacher got the same kind of heart that they have, he'll know, but that's God's word. That's God's word. That's not that preacher. That's God's word. He'll know the truth. We can't compromise the word because we love somebody. What about God? God sent you out to be fire. You got to be fire. He ain't telling you to be water. You all soft or watery. You're a cupcake. No, he ain't saying you'll do that. You got to be fired. Burn. Now, when you leave it, and you come, that's a man. Remember that preacher was here last week? Man, when he come down here, man, I remember. Oh, Lord, I was convicted. I was convicted. I had a couple of people send me text messages. Said, well, I'm glad you're coming back. I'm glad you're coming back. I said, praise God. I'm glad I'm able to come back, too. God make a way. Listen, listen, listen. Ooh, God. He says, yet you keep saying I'm innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, I will bring you to judgment. I will plead against you because you say, I have not sinned. Hear what God said? And the folk think that God don't see and don't hear, apostle. He sees and he cried for some of the stuff that I did in my life. And even for some stuff that I come up in my mind thinking about sometimes, I cry out. And I ask God, don't let me activate some of these thoughts. All of us get thoughts from time to time. Truth be told. But that don't mean you got to activate it. Paul said you got to cast down all thoughts in imagination. That's telling you that we all going to have thoughts that are going to come from time to time. Because Satan is not giving up on us. The Bible said when he leaves us, he goes out looking for a dry place to rest, and if he don't find a place, he comes back with seven other demons worse than himself. Hallelujah. And it's worse when he comes back with seven, because now you're not dealing with one, you're dealing with eight demons. Now, well, that's why we got to repent. Ask God to guard our mind, guard our hearts, watch over our mouth. Hallelujah. Why? He says, why do you glad or wonder about so much to change your way? You shall be put to shame by Egypt as you were put to shame by Assyria. Hallelujah. God is talking to his people. The same word for Judah and Jerusalem is for us. If we think that we can escape, there's no escape. The only escape is Jesus. And you can do that by repentance and walking, taking up your cross daily and following him. Most people don't want to do that because they want to fit in. They go and cry on a Sunday morning to the altar when the pastor make an altar call or Saturday morning or Wednesday night. And they cry at the altar, snot and everything. Pastor said, oh, she really was touched. He really was touched. What happened on Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday morning? What happened? Are you really changing? Or you just changed for that moment that the pastor was preaching such a profound word? And see, that's why we got to watch. We got to watch the sheep. See, when they're swerving, they're straying away from the path. So we can take this, we can take the staff and hook their neck and bring them back in. Minister to them. He says, from Egypt also will come away with your hands upon your head. For the Lord has rejected those in whom you confide. And you will not prosper. We want to be on the right side. We want to have the right people with us. Psalm 68. I'm telling you something. God saying, look, we are in a time of persecution. We are in a time of persecution, and we have to stand flat-footed. We have to be who God said we are. There's no time for playing. Psalm 68. There's no time for playing. We got to get real and real with ourselves that we are the sons and daughters. Psalm 68. Verses 17. Let's see what he says. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. This is the Lord of hosts. He has a great army that is set out to conquer. His army is set out to conquer. And when he comes, nobody can stop his army. Hear me today. You are on the right side if you're on the Lord's side. Moses said, stand on one side. Say, who? I'm on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to follow after the Lord's side? Come. We got to get right. We're going to give you two more scriptures, and then we're going to stop because we're going to save a part two of this. We're going to do a part two of this. We're going to go up to Daniel and some places back in Acts also. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Love the Lord so much. Yes, I tell you, he's doing miracles in my body. I know he's doing miracles in your body too, but, you know, when you think about, ooh, Lord Jesus, I know we say something. It could be the other way around, but when you think, I was telling somebody yesterday, say, you think about the little things. It's the little things that God does for us that we don't scream and shout about. It's the little things. It's what's phenomenal. He does small things, but they're mighty. They're mighty. Because a lot of times the enemy thinks that he could take you with that little thing. God said, no, not so. This is mine. I'm going to stop this right now. Little thing. But we give God glory for it. Woo! Listen to him in Galatians chapter 3. And he says, wherefore then service the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. The mediator is Jesus. He is the Lord God. He stands in the gap for us all the time. This is why we have to submit, like Bishop James said, we got to submit and commit to him all the time. Don't push our shoulders back and say, oh, I got it together. Hebrews chapter 2 and 2. We just about there right now. Hebrews chapter 2. Next time we come back, we will start with Romans chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and 2. For if the message given through angels, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, every violation and disobedience receive an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty. If the message given to angels. Hallelujah. Pay attention to what he's saying. I remember when I was acting a fool, living a worldly lifestyle. And, man, I tell you, I used to get so nervous that, you know, the law had me hostage. It had me hostage until grace. Because the law was pointing out some stuff that was serious, man. And it had me trembling. But when grace took over my life, fear left. And I have no more fear. The word spoken through angels referred to God giving the law at Sinai. Although through Exodus 19 to 20, those do not include angels during the giving of the law. Later biblical texts, Deuteronomy chapter 32, 33 and 2, Psalm 68 and 17. Every transgression, an act of disobedience. The Greek term here used here transcribes sinful disregard for God's law. One of the terms, parabasis, expresses deviation from a boundary. The other term, parakir, describes refusal to obey. The just penalty, God's law, which was delivered to Moses, renders a penalty for those who transgress it. The believers are to pay attention to the message because God's law is reliable and just. Believe in the Son's sacrifices as payment for the consequences of not following the law. See, Jesus paid the price. As I said, he paid the ultimate price. And once he paid that price now, you can walk securely. Hallelujah. If you are obedient to him, that's the key. If we are obedient to him, and we are following his instructions, we don't have to worry. The Lord don't have no power over us. Have no dominion over us. Hallelujah. Because we are walking by faith. Grace has us covered. And we are walking in obedience. He says, for if the word spoken through angels was binding on every transgression and act of disobedience receive a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect a great salvation which had its beginning when it was spoken through the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard? While God was testifying at the same time by signs and wonders, and various miracles and distribution of the Holy Spirit according to his will. See, my people, God loved us so much that he gave us everything. You might say, what everything? His Son. Jesus is everything. He is more than enough. I want to tell you this. I preach a message more than a prophet. He is more than enough. If we live and operate under the banner of Jesus Christ, we have no problems. There were no problems. Because the car not starting, the donkey not moving, the horse not moving, the cow won't. Man, that's no problem. Those are just situations. Wife acting up, children acting up, grandchildren acting up. That's just situations. God, he can handle those. If we stay underneath the blood, we are okay. We're covered. He says, signs and wonders is standard way of referring to the miraculous actions that God performed in Egypt. In the New Testament, the phrase also refers to actions that Jesus and his followers performed. Similar to signs and wonders, miracles indicate that mighty acts of God on behalf of his people. It refers to the Holy Spirit's role in bestowing and dispensing divine power through signs, wonders, and miracles. It's all here in the book. Acts 2 and 22. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and 22. Acts 4. 2 and 22 and 43. Acts 4 and 30. Acts 5 and 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. All through this book. All through the book. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the signs and the wonders. Lord, that we don't have to look anywhere. All we have to do is look to you, author and finisher of our faith. You are a miracle-working God. And God, you loved us so much that you never allow us to stay in darkness, but you lead us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We bless you and praise you, O God, today for this word. And we are asking you, O God, to continue to speak through us and speak to us, O God, as we yield our hearts, mind, body, and soul to you. There's no one like you, Lord. Lord, no one like you. We ask you, God, today to touch the north wind, the south wind, and the east wind. And God, let your word be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. We ask today that you continue to draw us close, Lord. Lord, let not the wind or the waves, the heat of the sun, Lord, the snow, the ice, let nothing separate us, Lord. We ask today, Father, that you allow us to continue to stay in your peace. Allow us to operate in your love, your compassion for each other, O God. We pray, Father, this day, Lord God, for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart, for their ministry. We pray, Father God, that you continue to enlighten them and keep them abreast of all that you have prepared for them to say, for them to do. We ask, God, that you protect Pastor Joyce as she go out, Lord, to minister to the sick and shut-in. And, Lord, even when she go to the grocery store, Lord, we ask for your mercy, your traveling mercy, oh God, your protection while she's out there, and the children, and the grandchildren, Lord. We ask, oh God, for your protection. Lord, we lift up Brother Deacon Fraser and his mother, his father, and all that concern him. We bring it before you today. We ask you, oh God, to protect them. Oh God, keep them safe and secure from all hurt, harm, and danger. And Father, we are grateful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Lord. For you alone are worthy of all the honor, praise, and glory. Father, we lift up Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, or Mary Jackson, Everson. Lord, we lift up Evangelist Darlene Campbell and Minister Undere Batmus, Lord God. Evangelist Tina Woodson, Evangelist Sheila Harding. We, Lord, these are the people of your people, those people that you have called. We ask you, God, to stretch your hands over them. Oh, God, we lift up, oh, God, Apostle LeGrant, oh, Gordon, Evangelist Curtis, and Lord, Evangelist Blanche. Lord, we just pray today in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your hand would move over your church. These men and women have a heart for you, Lord. Lord, no matter what's going on in their walk right now, Lord, we declare, God, that they are your children, Lord, that they have been washed in your blood. We ask you, Father God, to move by your Spirit, that you touch them today. God, draw them under the pinnacle of your presence, O God. We pray today in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak to the atmosphere where they are right now. And I command any satanic power, every demonic power, any witch power, sorcerer power, warlock power that may be in the atmosphere to leave right now. I command it to go back to the pit of hell right now. Loose them now in the name of Jesus, Father. I speak to their bodies.
Lord, I speak healing from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God. God, I ask you to go in and touch their body right now. And anything that's in their body that should not be there, God, I ask you to remove it, God. Remove the arthritic pain from their knees, from their elbows, from their ankles, oh God, from their neck, from their back. Lord, I ask you to heal their eyes, oh God. Heal their ears. Heal their tongues, Lord God. Yes, their heart, their liver, their kidney, their bladder, their pancreas. I come against asthmatic symptoms right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak, oh God, to blindness right now. And Father, I ask you to open eyes right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, I speak against, oh God, diabetes. I come against that symptom that is killing so much people in our nation and all over the world. I speak to the pancreas right now. I speak to pancreatic cancer right now. Lord, I speak to leukemia, bone cancer, yes, Father, breast cancer, lung cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, oh, God, prostate and colon cancer. I speak to it right now. Eye cancer, ear cancer, Lord, brain cancer, Lord, I speak to it right now in the name of Jesus. Throat cancer, I speak to it, I command it to die. Dry up at the root right now in the name of Jesus. And die, die, cancer, die, die in the name of Jesus. I command you to die. Die, no life in you. Die, I kill you right now in the name of Jesus. Every cancer cell, I command you to die right now in the name of Jesus. God, I release the spirit of peace over this radio station right now. I send it to the north, to the east, to the west, the south. Oh, God, I send out the spirit of peace right now, God. That's what you gave to us, oh, God. You gave to the disciples when you leave. So we receive that same peace. And I speak it in the atmosphere right now that no weapons form against us to prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, Lord, we condemn it right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare, God, hallelujah, that we shall rise up like eagles, hallelujah. Almighty God, we thank you right now, oh, God, for your presence, oh God. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Ah, yes, Lord, I hear you say that a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for correction. I thank you, oh God, for never let me go to the left or to the right. But, Lord, you are keeping us on the straight and narrow path. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for holding us up when we feel like we're going to fall over. Oh, mighty God, we just bless your name. We bless your name. We praise your name. I pray for every one of Pastor Stewart's grandchildren. Oh, God, I thank you right now. God, I ask for your protection over them right now. Lord God, I ask you to, oh God, protect his sons, his daughters. Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, release the angels of heaven, the archangels. Oh God, release them, oh God. Jacob said he saw them coming, descending and ascending under his ladder. Oh my God, in his dream, Lord. But I pray, God, in the natural, God, as they descend, let them come down and watch over us. And when they go up, Lord, let them not leave us comfortless. Because you said you would not leave us comfortless. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us, Father. We just bless you. We praise you today. Oh God, I ask you to heal somebody. Oh God, we ask you to deliver the hearts of many today. Lord, touch those that don't know Jesus today. And draw them to you, God. You said no one can come except you draw them. So draw sons and daughters, oh God, of Adam and Eve. Draw them to you today. Draw the lost to you today. Draw the lost that people have given up. Families have given up on some children. They've given up on their loved ones. They say that they have prayed long enough. But the prayer, you can never pray long enough, huh? But you have to pray more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray, Father God, that even today, that wayward son, that wayward daughter that left the house and went into the streets, God, I pray that you send out angels right now. Oh, God, heavenly angels, earthly angels, send them out now to rescue the son, rescue that daughter, that grandson, that granddaughter, that great-grandson, that great-granddaughter. Bring them back to the house of the Lord. Bring them to the house of the Lord. That unsaved man today, that unsaved woman today, let them cry out, oh God, for help. Let them hear the voice of heaven crying out for them and calling them to the doorsteps of righteousness. I pray today in the name of Jesus that many will be saved today, even as they call out on the name of Jesus. Repentance, oh God, as they call out today, Father God, in the name of Jesus in repentance, God, wrap them in your arms, fill them with the Holy Ghost, baptize them in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today, oh God, we pray today in the name of Jesus for thousands
thousands all over the world. It doesn't matter what your religion is. If it's not of Jesus and you call upon Jesus, he is willing to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is willing, oh God, to pardon you. He is willing to set you on the right path because his name is Jesus. Oh God, his name is Christ, which means salvation, the Savior. Oh Father, we just thank you right now. He is the Messiah, the living God, the one who came, oh God, who came and went and is coming again. And we thank God right now. Father, we ask you, oh God, as the one calling upon the name, the one that would call out today and said, Jesus, I am sick of sinning. I'm tired of sinning. But today I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. If you call upon him today, let him know. He already knew. But you need to open your mouth because the Bible says death and life is in the power of tongue. They that love it should eat the fruit thereof. Open your mouth wherever you are. You may be in Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. You may be in Brazil. You may be in, oh God, the Fiji Islands. You may be in Denmark. Oh God, you may be in Bolivia. Oh God, you may be in the Fiji Islands. Oh God, we don't know where you are. Maybe in Belize. Oh God, you may be in the Caribbean, Barbados, Trinidad, Jamaica, St. Lucia, St. Kitts, Guyana. You may be in the Windward or Leeward Islands, wherever you are in Canada, anywhere in the United States, in America, somewhere in Europe. But if you don't know Jesus, just call it upon him. Call out to him right now and say, Lord Jesus, I am tired. I am tired of being tired. Oh God, living this life I've been living. But today I understand that you died on the cross. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross and that the Father raised you up from the dead. You were buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. But on the third day, the Father raised you up. And I believe that you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan. Say it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and I denounce all of his agents and this world system. Lord, I'm no longer craving the things of this world, but I'm craving you. I want you, Lord. I want you to come into my heart right now, Lord Jesus, and save me. Cleanse my heart from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. Oh, God, make me whole again. Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I need you to come into my heart and take control of heart, Jesus. I need you to come into my heart, into my heart, Lord Jesus, and over, Lord. Take over. I no longer want to run my life, oh, God. I've been running for too long, and every time I was running, I've been getting in more and more trouble. I could not reach where I want to. But today, Jesus, I want you to take control. I want you to lead me and guide me by your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit according to Acts 2 and 38. Oh, God, I thank you right now. Thank you for saving me. I thank you for delivering me. I thank you for restoring me, Jesus. I believe in the word, Jesus. Oh, God, it said the faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I heard the word today, and I'm excited because the word has let me know that I would still go through persecution, even walking and falling and being led by you. But, Lord, I know I will be victorious because I'll be walking and covered, being covered in the blood. Lord, I thank you for covering me right now. I thank you for covering me right now, Lord Jesus, right where I am. Tell him right now, Lord, I thank you for covering me right where I am. The blood, the blood, the blood that never lost its first estate. I thank you, Lord God, for the power of the dominion. Oh, God, the authority of the blood. Right now, Jesus, I thank you. I claim the covering of the blood over my life, over my family, over everything that I have, Lord. I claim the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, Lord Jesus. I claim the protection of the blood, the healing of the blood, the deliverance of the blood, the restoration of the blood. Lord, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Well, if you said that prayer and you believe, there be uncommon. That's the way the Lord took me today. You have just received the gift of salvation. Call up a pastor, preacher, or teacher and tell them you received the gift of salvation, but that you want to be baptized. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And that's according to Acts 2 and 38. But before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because this is the greatest day of your life. And you want everybody to be, that you know, to be witness of this great day of your life. Hallelujah. Your life will never, ever be the same. After you get baptized, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Tell the pastor, yes, I love to be here at the church if that's what you feel, but I want to do something. Ask the pastor, what can I do? What can I do to help you? And the pastor will tell you. And then go ahead and do it. Okay, do it. We all have to be helpers. We have to be helpers in the body of Christ. God bless you. God keep you, God cause his face to shine upon you, and God give you peace
thank God for you. Brother Deacon Frazier, thank God for you. Brother Oscar, we thank God for you. Evangelist, we thank God for you offer this worship. We thank God for you. Minister George, we just thank God for you all. Have a blessed day. We're going to leave now and rest for a bit. Father, we ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We ask, O God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Father, we ask that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, Father, we want blessings to come so that we can be a greater help to those that are less fortunate than us, O God. Lord, help us to see the ones that only wants to use us for what they can get. But help us to see the ones that really need help from you, O God, so that we can help them. And, Father, as we leave this land but never your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them. And Jesus is the only way. It may be the only word, that the word that you use today, that will make all the difference in someone's life. It might make someone know that they make a difference. You know, sometimes you don't know how important it is for you to just share a word. Tell somebody. Because people are going through today. You hear me? People are going through, and they want to hear a word. Don't have to be a big, long word. You just tell somebody about the love of Christ. And that will make all the difference. Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Don't you want people to see your works? It's recorded in heaven. When you share Jesus Christ, it's recorded in heaven. When you die in judgment day, it will come as a memorandum of what you have said and done. It's in the book. It'll be in the book. You understand? It'll be in the book that you told somebody. Hallelujah. So we bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you today. We thank God for you being here. And we pray that you come back again tomorrow if the Lord say the same. And we are here in the land of the living God. Bless you all. And we thank God for you. Thank God for you, Brother Deacon, for you here with us. We pray that God protect you on your job and keep you safe. And you're going to and fro. In Jesus' holy name we pray. God bless you.